Well, we are in Romans chapter 1. We're going to continue translating here, see how much of the New Testament we can digest here in the last few weeks. Don't forget we have a quiz, I think, next Thursday, not a week from this Thursday, on diagramming and translation. So it'll be a little ways off yet. We may do a little review before we do that, too, a few days before next week. Okay. Romans chapter 1, and we did verse 2, as far as I can see here. And so we'll pick up with verse 3. And who wants to volunteer? John? He's always first.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Very to you, how to, you know, menu, ek, dramatos,
Dawid. Yeah, probably.
Dawid Katasaka.
Okay.
That's kind of in the middle of context. Concerning his son, the one, let's see, generated out of the seed of David. Seed of David.
Sarka is flesh.
Right, but
yeah. You probably want to translate kata as according to in this context. Okay. Kata is kind of a tough one as far as
according to flesh.
According to the flesh, yeah, according to flesh. So, and there's going to be a contrast to that.
Or after, perhaps. After isn't really kata, though.
No, a few more
minutes.
Right, after the flesh, yeah. But it's in the sense of according to. Of course, Kata's root idea is down. And it's maybe a little hard to see the connection there, but I could see a connection, but it's real hard to describe it. You get the feeling for it. You know, it's like the Gospels, Kata, Matthew, and so forth. Well, one comment here is this Genomenu having. This is from Ginomai. There's always a tricky thing between. Yeah, it's coming to be, having come to be. And the reason it's tricky is because either one of those verbs might be appropriate in a particular instance. And so it's very easy to make that confusion. So having come to be out of the seed of David according to the flesh, according to flesh. So, and then it's referring to the gospel of God, which he promised aforetime through the prophets and scriptures. We read in verse 2. Concerning his son, the one having come to be out of the seed of David, or out of the seed of David, according to flesh. Okay, and verse 4, Jim.
To Orisentos, Yuzbeu, and Duname, Kata, Zuma, Adiosune, Ek, Anas, Dato, Neko, Yuzbeu, Kiryu.
Okay. We're still in the same sentence.
first verse of
environment. Okay, oristhentus is it's a participle, and they give it having been defined or set apart or having been defined or marked out. This is from it's orizo instead of proorizo.
Something like declared.
Yeah, declared to be, designated to be, something like that. Yeah. And this would be a participle, of course, a passive, aorist passive participle.
Declared to be son of God.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably referring back up to verse 3 where he had peri to who you out to, and this is an apposition to that. So concerning the son of him, and now, and then you had one fault, the one coming, having come to be out of the seed of David, and now the one having been designated or defined or marked out as the son of God in Dunamai.
Okay. Having been marked out son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness. Out of resurrection, of dead ones, from dead ones.
Right.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right. So here's the contrast, you know, concerning the son of him, and having come to be out of the seed of David according to flesh. And there's no article there on flesh, but it's of course appropriate in the sense that you're dealing with the quality or characteristic of the thing. There's a contrast between flesh and spirit here. And then having been declared to be or defined to be the son of God, a son of God in power, or well, be the son of God because of the two above, the son of God in power according to a spirit of holiness. There's no article on spirit there either. So according to a spirit of holiness, and that's not the Holy Spirit per se, but it's probably associated with that idea. But it's you see, it's contrasting flesh versus a spirit of holiness. Flesh is the authority for one and the spirit of holiness for the other.
I listened to this last year in a paper I did, and in my opinion, it's probably referring to his human spirit, especially with the word hagios. It's only used three times in the New Testament, and the other two times it's used with man's holy spirit.
Yes. It's an adjectival attribute to, well, I mean, it's a noun, but it's built from that state of being that, and it's an interesting point. And of course, when you're contrasting with, the thing it's contrasted to is flesh in the previous verse, and that's his human flesh. And here, it's speaking of his spirit. And then, of course, out of the resurrection of the dead ones, it was his resurrection that declared him to be what God had designated him to be, indeed the Son of God, but speaking of his human spirit having been resurrected, being put in that position. Okay?
No.
That was in one of the papers you did, wasn't it, Mark? Okay. So if you're interested, you can check on that in the library.
Question. There's a little bit of ambiguity. Has he been declared in power, or is he declared to be Son of God in power?
Oh, I see.
Is the declaration in power, or is the Son in power?
Well, I think it has to do with the declaration of being a son. I think that's the whole idea. I mean, it's the declaring itself could be almost anything, you know, declaring almost anything. But it's his being declared to be the Son of God, I think, is the whole point. Because the in power is kind of going to out of the resurrection of the dead ones. In other words, that's how the power is demonstrated by the resurrection. And the resurrection demonstrated that he was who he claimed to be. He claimed
he was the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
And that in power is the resurrection.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think it would be tied. I mean, that's what demonstrates it. And the thing is adverbial. You know, the phrase in power is adverbial, technically. I think if you were doing it in a diagram, well, I see what you're saying. You could take it as an adjectival in power modifying son. In other words, a powerful son. You know, a son who's in power, declared to be a son in power, a powerful son, in other words, that kind of an idea. But I think that because of the resurrection of the dead and the action that's going on here, I would be inclined to put this as an adverbial thing, dealing with the whole action.
More pinned down if it was not a participle.
Well, it oftentimes is, because if it's not a participle, then your verbal idea is more pure and more direct, and you might see an adverbial idea a little bit easier. Yeah, it could be, but I don't think there's too much problem here because you have a qualifying phrase about the resurrection, and you have the context also contrasting with verse 3 and so forth that sets up a pattern. So those things all have to be considered. Okay. Any other observations there in verse 4? Okay, verse 5. Tony, want to take a crack at that?
Yeah.
Still part of the same sentence, by the way. We've got one sentence from verse 1 down to 5 at least. Well, 6, 7. Yeah. 7 is kind of finishing verse 1, you know. Well, he's down through 7. Verse 8, we can start another sentence. Okay, go ahead.
Ihu, Elam, Bowman, Karin, Kai, Apostle Lane, 8, Apake, Apakai.
Hupako Wayne? Hupako Wayne.
Pistus and Plasm, Toys and Lesson, Cooper 2, Onomatos, Apsu, that also.
Okay.
From whom we have received grace and apostleship
into this is from Akuo. Akuo means to hear, and Hupo means under. So to hear under, it's the idea of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So you might translate obedience.
I almost
want to
say the hearing obedience kind of faith.
Yeah.
The obedience kind of faith.
Well, actually, the faith is the genitive, so you might say the obedience of faith, into the obedience of faith, into obedience of faith, I guess, no article. Depends on whether you take it as a subjective genitive or objective genitive, whether you're obeying the faith or whether you're obeying out of faith as a result of faith or whatever. It's a number of possibilities.
In all the nations...
Yes, over his name. Literally over his name, yeah. So in all the nations over his name. And of course the idea of over is going to be taken in a more conceptual sense here, not in a physical position. So maybe something like concerning or something of that nature, but that seems still a little weak. Okay, so through whom, this dihu, through whom we have received grace and apostleship into the obedience of faith, or into obedience of faith in all the nations, and you might even say among all the nations there, because we've got nations plural, and end with plurals, often is considered that way, among all the nations, over the name of him, over his name.
Mm-hmm. That over seems a little awkward.
Yeah, just translate it literally is awkward. I'm trying to think of a good conceptual. Yeah, concerning I thought of, but it seems a little. Peri is usually used that way. We may have to do that with English idiom and say concerning, although I think it's a little weak. About maybe, or well, that's not even. That's about the same as concerning. Yeah.
I copied it down from
the
genitive.
You parry
on behalf of.
On behalf of?
For the sake of.
For the sake of, okay. For the sake of his name. That might even be the best, for the sake of his name. Okay. Almost got the idea of trying to uplift or build or protect the name, something like that. Okay. in other words, we've received this apostleship to glorify his name and to honor it. All right. Another question? Any other questions? Verse 5. Verse 6, Glenn?
And the Lord testified to the place called Israel.
Okay.
In which we are also called to be
servants. Okay. Yes.
In which ones,
it's referring back to the nations. Yeah, and so again, you might want to translate the end as among whom, perhaps, referring to the nations, among whom you are also called ones of Jesus Christ. You are called of Jesus Christ. So the point is, you are called among the nations to serve Jesus Christ. Of course, he's addressing the brethren in Rome, So he's addressing primarily Gentile population, or at least a good percentage of them. Okay, verse 7, Mark.
Often toys Uthan and Romaine, Agape toys, the U, Clay toys, Hagiois, Haris, Humin, Kai, Irene, Apo, the U, Patros, Hemon, Kai, Kuritu, Hindu, Christu.
Okay.
To all those being in Rome, beloved of God, called Holy One.
Right.
Peace to you and grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Okay, good. Yes, to all ones being in Rome, the beloved ones of God. These are a number of appositional constructions in the dative plural here, because of the two. Kletois, hagiois, called to be holy, holy ones, called holy ones. Grace and peace, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of an interesting expression there, because it's not grandal sharps, and it would be interpreted as referring to two separate entities there, although it is a little bit ambiguous too. It's one that, it's all anarthrous. So you don't have anything to really tie it together grammatically, at least along the lines of Granville Sharp's, in a real clear-cut way. Steve's working perhaps on looking at some of these salutations. The fact that you have a hamon here attached to God the Father, God our Father, the idea of hamon seems to make it a definite concept. You know, it's our Father. It's not just any old a Father, but it's ours. And he's looking into the possibility of the hamon making a definiteness there and possibly being able to tie these together or seeing what possibilities exist that way. So that should be rather interesting. We don't know if the data is going to work out and it's going to be enough data to really conclude it or not, but at least he's going to make an attempt at it. All right. Verse 8. Who's up next? Dale.
Proton men. Eucharisto, so, theo, mu, dia, Jesu, Christu, peri, panton, humon, poti, he, pistis, humon, kata, katangeli, galete, holo, to, cosmo.
Okay.
Yes. Kata, and katangeli.
Yeah, katangeletai. Katangeletai.
First, indeed, I am thanking to my God, Jesus Christ, concerning or about all of you, that the faith of you is being announced down in the whole world.
Yes. Okay. First, I thank my God, and of course, this thank usually uses the dative object type of an idea. So I thank my God through Jesus Christ concerning you all. Because your faith is being announced down, as it were, being announced or proclaimed in all the world, in the whole world. Holos, remember, is that adjective meaning whole, in the whole world. Okay, verse 9, Bryce.
Martus gar ru estin o deos o
Okay.
What's Martus?
Witness. The witness. It's an as a noun here.
Okay. Probably for my witness is God. And
Yeah, and you probably want to say to whom here, referring back to God. Because the next verb here, latruo, means to render sacred service or serve. To whom I serve, or to whom I serve, or for whom I serve.
For whom I serve. In my spirit, to the good news of his son.
Okay, yeah, probably in the good news of his son.
Even as
Okay, this is... Yeah, dialepos is unceasingly. Adialepos, they give here, is unceasingly. And it'd be interesting to break that down. Possibly, well, adialeptos, you've got the tau in there, so it's probably from a different root. You got the ah in the front, so you've got a negation, so there's probably a word dialeptos or something similar that this is coming from. And perhaps having some kind of idea of ceasing or intermittent or something. This is non-intermittent or something. Might check that. It'd be interesting word study. Okay, so this poiumai is the verb. So I am making, and then mneon is remembrance, making remembrance of you unceasingly. So he's unceasingly making remembrance of you. King James translates it making mention, but unceasingly making remembrance of you. And then pantota epiton prosychonu. Pantota would be always. Let's see. Okay, we split. Okay, I'm sorry. We split the verses in different places. Okay, I'm sorry. The Westcott and Hort keeps it going to the rest of that clause. We'll go ahead and stop there. Okay, so we'll stop there. Unceasingly making remembrance of you, or remembrance of you I'm making. And then picking up with verse 10, Steve. Oh, yes, you have a...
Dialepo means to cease or to stop, and that would be, comes from dia and lepo, and lepo is to lack or fall short.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Fall short through. All right. So the idea is stop. All right.
If you don't stop.
Yeah. Dialeptos is unceasingly. Okay. Non-stop. Okay. Verse 10, Steve.
Pantota pi ton prosuchion mu diomenos etos ede pota iodo lexamai ento telemati tuteu elfein pros kuma.
Okay.
He was making mention.
Mm-hmm.
Make your reverence of you were mentioned. Always upon my prayers.
Right, always upon my prayers. That means to supplicate. So this is a participle, supplicating. Let me check the verb here. I think it's, well, it's just deo. This is a middle participle. So supplicating. No, it's just a. This is the particle meaning if. This is a little bit if, how, already, literally. At some time. You got quite a if, how, already, at some time. Is really what we got. So that's why they say something like in King James, if by any means, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's from hodos, actually, and eu, and let me get the full verb for you here. It's an interesting one. It's from eu do'o, and eu do'o, it's epsilon, upsilon, omicron, the delta, omicron, omega, and it means a good way, to find a good way, or to have a good way, so be given a good way. He says, I shall be given a good way. And made a good way. See, the hodos is way and el is good. So a good way.
Mm-hmm. The will of God to come toward you.
Yes, to come toward you. So he's praying that he might have opportunity to visit them. And so he's supplicating if how already at some time. In other words, if by any means at some time, in some way, I might be given a good way in the will of God to come toward you. Yes.
Something I noticed already,
get really convicted. Because everything he writes is black and white, you know. Just by any means, you know. It's not like, hi, how are you? I'm fine.
Yeah, right.
I'm really surprised. He's doing a lot of strong.
Yes, he is. The heart is really powerful here. There's his desire, you know, the dedication of the ministry is really something that is apparent continually. It's a real good point.
We haven't looked at any of the others, but it's that same way. And the strength of it, it would seem perhaps in Romans, since he had never been to see before, that he might be wanting to project his heart more strongly to them.
Yeah. I can tell you that's true in all the epistles. That's the same heart. He's just longing for them. There are some times when the manifestation is a little bit, the heart's the same, but there may be problems, like theological problems, or like in Galatia, where there were serious problems. I mean, he comes on really strong in that beginning of Galatians, in the sense of, it's because of his love for them, but it comes out pretty. Many commentators, you know, remark about the fact that he doesn't give the kind of a loving salutation he does in other places, because the danger is so intense that it's almost as though he's trying to pull them out of the fire. But that same heart of concern for them and the longing for them, and Philippians is really good too. He expresses a constant love, you know, for the brethren there, my dearly beloved, and so forth. I mean, he's just really, you can see his heart is affected by the people. There's no question about it. Even the ones he hasn't seen yet, like these in Rome. So it really is a lesson for us. And looking at it in the Greek, too, there's more powerful expression. So you're picking up more of that. You're picking more of the sense of it. Good. And it's good for it to be convicting for us. We can make some decisions. All right. Who's up next? Dale, over there? Verse 11, I believe.
People so guard, you must not be as charisma, you mean pneumatical is told spirit thing right, you must.
Okay. This verb epi poso, let me double check, I think I know what the root is, but okay, epi potheo is the form, and it means to give yearning here. Yearning. It'd be an interesting study there. You got the preposition epi. I'm not sure what potheo is. I thought it might be from pathos, but may not be. But the idea is yearning, longing, desiring, intense desire.
For I am yearning to see you in order that
this means to impart, metado, from metadidomi. So you've got didomi to give, and metta on top of it, so to give with or something. So they're translating it in part. That idea seems to be to give it, give it with them, so that it abides with them. So it's now something they've got. So they've had something imparted to them. Okay.
What would
T be? It's an indefinite. Remember, it's your interrogative pronoun, but it's also an indefinite pronoun. So any that I might impart any charisma or some charisma. So I might impart some spiritual, some gift to you. Pneumatikon is the adjective. So translated some in this case probably be the best. It's kind of an indefinite thing.
I might impart some spiritual gift to you.
Mm-hmm.
To the.
Okay, there's another one we haven't seen yet. I'm going to check the root on that too. It means to be firmly fixed. And stay rich, stay nigh.
I think that's just a infinitive.
Yes, it's an aorist passive infinitive, from Stay Rizzo. So apparently they're giving the meaning is firmly fixed. So into your being firmly fixed. So of course it would be a passive aorist and infinitive. And notice the neuter article of it, into the being firmly fixed of you, into your being firmly fixed. Again, you see the same heart there, yearning to see you in order to impart some gift to you.
I was thinking perhaps it could come from Pedro too. The idea of
persuade, yeah.
And also the idea of pursuing.
Well, let's see. Probably it can have that. I think there's a strong emotional element to it, that's for sure. Okay. Yeah, that'd be a subject for a word study. It'd probably be an interesting one. It's probably one of those verbs that's used only once or something like that in the New Testament. All right, verse 12. We're back to John.
Jesus asked him, "Super claim then I, and we mean the beatitude and Aleloitis Deus, Mon Tecai Emu."
Okay. This is going to be a little bit idiomatic. Assume para klethenai is an infinitive also.
Call together alongside.
Yeah, call together alongside with. There's a bit of the soon there, together with. So they call together alongside. You might translate encouraged or comforted. To be comforted together, the idea. And mutually comforted. This is going to be a little awkward in English. It's literally something like, this is rather, but this is, or and this is, being comforted together. And it's referring to imparting his coming in order to impart some spiritual gift, and you being firmly established. And this is, it's kind of restating what he means by imparting a spiritual gift and what the results will be. So they translated in the New World here, or rather, I'm not sure what King James does with it, something like that, I think. In other words, it's kind of a repetition of it to give more explanation of what he said before. So this is referring back to his imparting some spiritual gift to them. And so this is the encouraging, being encouraged together among you or in you. And then he continues on. In other words, he's describing what the spiritual gift is going to do. And what his desire to minister to them is, to be comforted together with them.
It almost one you have subjunctive idea to it, because he had a subjunctive idea to it before, that mm-hmm. in part, that, and that it seems to, like this is, well, that we might, and almost that we might, I would expect to be a subjunctive, that we might be comforted together.
Yeah, it is an aorist passive infinitive, and so another way you might do it is to say, in English we say that is such and such, and here this is, so it's that kind of idea. Right. Puts that whole thing as an explanatory appositional concept to what went before, to the whole thing really. Maybe not just trying to zero it in on the parting gift, but
yeah.
He wants to come to them, you see, and impart some spiritual gift. That is, I want to be encouraged together with you. So the idea is that he wants to be fellowshipping with them and sharing with them.
All right, so this that is to be comforted together in you.
Right.
Through the...
This is going to be fun to translate to.
The in ourselves faith.
Yeah, or in one another. Alleluia is that reciprocal pronoun. So, it's through the in one another faith.
Of you.
Of you?
Yeah.
And?
And of me.
Right. So, through the in one another faith of you and of me, literally. That's why they translate mutual faith. The mutual faith. Yeah. In other words, the faith that was that's in one another. In other words, he's acknowledging that he's going to receive a benefit as well, that he expects to be comforted together also, and that he's not He's not just condescending to them to come to give them some spiritual gift, but he's expecting to receive from them also. And so that in one another, mutual faith.
That being mutual, though, is kind of, it doesn't fit in exactly.
Not quite.
It's because it can be that we have a faith that is common as opposed to the faith that is
in one another. Yeah. Yeah, when you say mutual, you kind of lose the force of the preposition in that's used here. If you just had allelois, that might be more like mutual, but it's the in one another faith. Mm-hmm. It's not the faith that we just possess in common, but it's the faith that's in us in common. Okay. And notice your prepositional phrase is functioning as an adjective here in between the article and this noun. So the in one another faith of you and of me.
He's not saying the faith that we have in one another, but
no.
The faith that is in...
Yeah, the faith that's residing in one another. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's where it's located. It's in one another. Because if it's just having faith in, this person and that person, that's not really what his point is. His point is that we're going to be edified by the faith of Jesus Christ that's in one another.
Yeah,
that I think would come more from context.
These faith tends
down
more
clearly. Mhm. Okay. You can see though that our grammatical expressions are quite different than they were in the Gospel of John, and the sentence structures and so forth, and the flow and so forth is quite a bit different. You don't have a lot of short, simple sentences. You have a lot of pretty complicated concepts that are building one upon another as far as the sentence structure. I'm not saying that John is theologically very simple. It's not. In some ways, its simplicity lends itself to more complicated theological concepts. But you certainly have a little bit more work to do in exegesis in the epistles as far as structuring and diagramming would be concerned. Okay, verse 13. Jim. Okay.
But I am not wishing or wanting you to.
Okay, it's the infinitive for ignorance or lack of knowledge. It's agnoein. We get the word agnostic from that. It's lack of knowledge or ignorance. So I'm not wishing you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm not desiring you to be ignorant.
Be ignorant, brethren. Because many times,
Polakis. Many times.
I'm not sure before I was or something.
Okay, this pro ethemen is to purpose. And it's from Balotithemi, I think. Let me check here. From Protithemi. And the idea is to set before. So it's the idea of setting a goal before you. So we translate purposed. Okay. So many times I purposed.
Okay, I purposed to come to you.
Okay, I was hindered. It's a verb to hindered, to be hindered.
Yeah, I was hindered.
Koluo.
Until,
and here's your article on a time word. Duro means hither, literally. Until the hither, and so they say, until now. In other words, up until this point.
Okay, until now.
Mm-hmm.
In order that any fruit shall have.
Yes, this is a future subjunctive. Well, it's just a future form. Sko, I might. Let me check here. It should look like more of a subjunctive. Yeah, it is a subjunctive. It's an aorist subjunctive. So, in order that I might have some fruit, tina karpon. In order that I might have any fruit or some fruit.
Okay. Also in you, just as also in death.
Okay. Yes, the leftover ones from the nations, yeah. Also among you, see, also in you. In other words, that I might have some fruit also in you, according as, or seeing as how, perhaps, or something like this, even among you, even as among the rest of the nations, you know, according like as among the rest of the nations. In other words, he wants to have some fruit among those in Rome as he has in many of the other nations. In other words, have some fruit of the ministry and new souls coming in and imparting spiritual gifts and teaching and establishing the faith and so forth.
That loipo is used very strangely at times. It's used very idiomatically. Paul uses it a number of times. I can't remember. It just comes out real odd sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He uses it as a greeting in several places. But it doesn't really mean the leftover ones.
It's, yeah.
I can't remember exactly how it's translated, but it's quite odd.
That's a good word study for somebody.
No, it wasn't really that. And the way that King James translated it was, I mean, just threw you off completely how they got that out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's apparently the connotation is there. It has the idea of leftover ones, but it can be used very idiomatically.
Mm-hmm. Is that, you mean addressing the people as the remnant or something like that? Or?
Yeah, but it wasn't remnant.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it was. It's been a couple of months since I looked into it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Okay.
A number of places, and it's a very enigmatic kind of statement.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, well, the leftover ones could either be good or bad, depending on what, mm-hmm. what the rest of them were. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes, ekoluthein is, the verb means to hinder. It's from koluo, I believe. Let me check here. Yes, koluo, kappa, omega, lambda, upsilon, omega. And this is an aorist passive indicative. So I was hindered. It's an aorist passive form. It looks like it might be deponent in the aorist. No, that would be passive ID. I was hindered. Okay, so the verb must mean to hinder in an active transitive sense. So I was hindered is the translation. There was one word for hindrance that involved breaking up a road in front of an army. I don't think this is the same one. So this must be a different route. Yeah. Blowing up the bridges, that's the kind of idea. Okay. Any other questions? Verse 13. All right. Verse 14. Tony.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ophelates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Both Greek and barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
Both wise and foolish. A debtor I am.
Yes. Yeah, and you might say, since they're datives, two Greeks and two barbarians, two wise and two foolish, the debtor I am. I am debtor to all of these. Okay. Notice that, well, sophois, of course, Sophia is wisdom, so sophois are wise ones. And anoetois is interesting because literally, noe is mind, so this would be mindless ones, literally. In other words, ones without mind, ones without sense, senseless ones. It's quite a graphic description situation. So I'm a debtor, I'm obligated, that is. I'm under obligation to Greeks and to barbarians, to wise and to foolish. I'm under obligation, or I am a debtor. Well, in the Roman world, the Greek, the culture was largely Greek, and the wisdom was partly, yeah, and to Greeks, anybody who wasn't a Greek was a barbarian. That's the way to find it. So he's saying to Greeks and barbarians, you know. In other words, everybody. Either you were a Greek or a barbarian. Anybody's not a Greek.
New Yorker.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or perhaps the rest of America and New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah, however you want it. Okay. Verse 15. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
On your list outside.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, according to
okay. Well, prothumon is eagerness. Eagerness. It's probably from protithemi again, or something similar to it. It's the idea of an inclination, and it's a noun here, so I don't have the parse, you know, breakdown for it. But they give it as eagerness.
It is according to my eagerness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, well, let's see. To the ones in Rome, to declare the good news is to preach the gospel here. It's an infinitive here, to preach the gospel. So this is going to be a little difficult. I'm not sure exactly how to word this in the literal sense. What they give is, there is eagerness on my part to declare the good news also to you there in Rome. There's eagerness on my part. So thus, the according to me eagerness, you know, there is an eagerness according to me. There is an according to me eagerness also to you, to the ones in Rome, to preach the good news. So literally the idea is, thus, and you almost have to supply it, there is an eagerness according to me, to you also, to the ones in Rome, to preach the good news.
Thus,
right. Yeah. So thus, it's got that adverbial sense there with that omega sigma. So, and it varies here. We've got huto and hutos with an omega sigma. There's a difference between the two texts on that. Yeah, let's see. So there is. This is verse. Yeah, erst middle infinitive, right?
Where's the verb?
Well, there isn't really a verb there. You have to understand it. There, that's why it makes it a little awkward. So you probably put something in huto or hutos there. Thus, there is, in supply of there is there. There is, and according to me, eagerness. There is the eagerness, according to me, to you also in Rome to preach the gospel. So the idea is there is an eagerness to preach the gospel. There is an eagerness on my part, or of me, to preach the gospel. So we're having to make a kind of a predication with a verb to be in there. Okay. And here's an instance, too, I might add, where you've got a noun, eagerness, qualified by an infinitive modifying another noun, an eagerness to preach the gospel. You know, we saw some examples in Getchus of having a need to be saved or a need to be blessed or something like that. Need is a noun, and then you have a complementary infinitive complementing a noun. That's what we have here, too. Yes?
I think just from prothumos and thumos is what they give anger and rage and fury, but also intense feeling.
Okay, intense feeling, and then pro is giving this idea, either from pros or before, either before or toward.
I thought would be parallel with microthumia, which mm-hmm. means
Long suffering. So a large feeling. Yeah,
the feeling, you know, I've seen the word before and had the idea that it has something to do with the mind, but it seems to be more emotionally and the emotions and being. Some translate long of spirit, not prothumia. So it's kind of hard to determine exactly.
Yeah, there might be some other roots that you had to examine too. Other examples of it. Steve, question?
Those in Rome, is that an apposition to the human, or is that a direct, indirect object of the...
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, it'd be considered appositional to humane, because, and both of those would be considered indirect objects of the infinitive, evangelis Let's let's say. To you also, to those in Rome. In other words, those two phrases would be in apposition to each other. Both indirect, the indirect object of the infinitive. Mm-hmm. So to you, to those in Rome. In other words, you might even put a that is in between there. To you, that is those in Rome. Okay, and that would be oppositional, yes. Okay, verse 16. Got enough time to do one more here. I think who's up next, Mark?
Ugar, if I whom o my so evangelion dunamis gar the u elfin is so te rion anti to pistuonti udio te proton kai helene.
Okay.
For I am not. For I am not twisting the gospel.
Well, this means they give a translation of to be ashamed. I am not ashamed.
Oh. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God into salvation to all those believing.
Mm-hmm.
To the Jew first. And also to the Greek.
Right, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes, to every believing one, to the Jew first and to the Greek. There again, we've got an appositional structure relating to to pistuonti, and then an apposition to that, eudaio in the dative and heleni in dative.
What's the root on
that? Okay, it's 20, let's see, verse 16. It's episkunomai. That's the dictionary form. So that's just a present, middle, indicative, and apparently it's a deponent verb.
Okay.
So that's just the way you'll find it in the dictionary.
Okay, it's a present, that's just got.
Yeah.
Looks like it's got.
It's a present form. And so the epi is probably from. No, epi, I think, is a particle, too, by itself. It could be either that this is epi, and then you have I skunomai or something, or high skunomai or something. Just check the breakdown on that, because it could be several possibilities. All right, 17. Any other questions on 16? Okay, verse 17, Dale.
Ikaio sune garta u en auto apoko. For righteousness of God in it is being revealed out of faith, into faith, just as it has been written. But the righteous ones out of faith shall live.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. It's a familiar verse, but it's in the Greek you can see some pictures you may not see otherwise. So for in it, for in auto, the dikaiosune, the righteousness of God is being revealed out of faith into faith, literally. Ek pisteos into ace pisteos. I think what does King James say? From faith to faith? And so you've got out of faith into faith. Some interesting implications there. According as it has been written, perfect verb form there, but the righteous out of faith shall live. Yes?
You have to believe in order to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, in order to make progress.
Revealed,